Well, it's lovely to be back with you again this evening. Complete, because my wife's here. I'm in the good books now, but I am. So it's lovely to be here with you this morning, And I have to say we had a lovely time this morning, didn't we? God's presence, and we had a look at the life of Abraham, how God raised up this man for a specific purpose, who was old in age and was a right old pagan, but God saved him. Because it said he believed on God and it was accounted to him for righteousness. And God's promise to him that he would become the father of all them that believe and the father of a nation. And he inherited a land that was incorruptible, a heavenly Canaan, but by faith he saw a Canaan on this land as well. That was fulfilled. And going to be fulfilled in the millennium as well, completely and fully. But now we come to another wonderful passage of scripture. Another promise to us, really. And it's found in Psalm 91. Psalm 91. And I think it's a beautiful psalm, this.
Amen.
It's your favourite. Good. So I think I'll read it to you. Psalm 91. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come near thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation, there shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over thee, to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and the adder, the young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet. Because he has set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high, because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honour him. And with long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. I've entitled this message thought about it again this week. The secret of God's protection. The secret of God's protection. And it is a psalm here that really does abound in the protection of God for his people. There's a wonderful truth to know that no matter how much effort and time and finances and so on that the governments of this world put in to protect their people, doesn't matter how much we try in our family life to protect those loved ones, we have somebody who protects his people completely and fully. And that is God. We do our best in this life for ourselves and for our loved ones, but it is God who ultimately protects because he is sovereign. And we read here that this psalmist was speaking from personal experience, as we will see, about God's protection. But we know that Jesus Christ is the same today, yesterday, and forever. So he never changes. So not only does he protect fully and completely for the psalmist, who possibly Moses or David, but he protects us today in this life because he is the same. Now, God protects fully and completely because it says that he is the Most High. He is sovereign. Now, you cannot be fully sovereign unless you have all power. The Queen is the sovereign of our land. Praise God, I'm a royalist. I like the Queen. But she doesn't have all power. But God is sovereign. and he's the high and mighty God, and he has all power. Therefore, we can trust him that he will not be defeated by any foe at all, because God is sovereign and God is all powerful. This psalm here really speaks to us about the weakness of man. We are weak in and of ourselves. We are weak. And without God, we will stand to fall. So this scripture tells us here that in our own weakness, really we can't do anything. But with God, all things are possible. And with God, we can have the assurance to know that he will look after us. And we just have to trust in him. And as we heard this morning, his promises are yea and amen. He gives his verification upon his word. He gives his oath upon his word. His promises are yes and amen to us. It's interesting that his promises are definitive. Let's have a look at verse 2. Verse 2, he says this: he is my refuge. In verse 3, he shall deliver thee. In verse 4, he shall cover thee with his feathers. In verse 11, it says, he shall give his angels charge over thee. In verse 14, he says, I will set him on high. I will deliver him. Verse 15, he says, he shall call upon me. I will answer him. He shall call upon me. I will be with him in trouble. And verse 16, I will satisfy him with long life. Isn't that authoritative? The authoritative promises of God. I will, I will, I shall, I will. And did we not hear that about Abraham this morning? I will make your name great, Abraham. I will give you a land. But in chapter 11 of Genesis, the people said, let us build a tower. Let us make a name for ourselves. But we don't know who they are. We don't even know where the Tower of Babel is. But God's promises are sure and true. And he will protect his own. Human promises don't always measure up, but God's promises do. So we can say like this psalmist, and we can say as the word of God says, I know whom I am believed, and I'm persuaded. He's able. And that is the promise God wants us to keep in mind. We know in whom we believe. The God of gods, the King of kings, the Sovereign Lord. And as we heard this morning also, that we must have the faith to believe. It's quite easy to say, oh yes, God protects. But it's quite another thing to really believe it. And as I said this morning, faith is quite simple in that it means believe God. Anyone can believe in a God, but it's quite something else to believe God. And that's faith, to believe God. For without faith, it's impossible to please him. Now you want to please him tonight, don't you? And I want to please him. So we must have faith in God that he will look after us and he will look after his own and protect us in our life. And to please God is to have faith in him. To please God, when we put our faith and trust in him for our salvation, we please his heart. Because we trusted him. The just shall live by faith. Those who are justified by the Lord, those who are accounted righteous by God the Father through Jesus Christ. We now live by faith. We don't live by anything else. We live by faith. Faith in Christ Jesus, faith in his word. Faith unshakable. So what are the three points that I want to bring before you that I was thinking on? These are the points in the secret of God's protection. Verses 1 to 2, we're going to be looking at the condition of God's protection. Verses 3 to 13, we're going to be looking at the promise of God's protection. And this is by the author and the writer. Verse 14 to 16, we're going to be looking at the pledge of God's protection to his people. So let's look at our first point this evening, the condition of God's protection. There is a condition. Some people may not like this, but there is a condition to God's protection. And I'll show you as I go along what I mean by this. But here is the condition and the security of God's people. He is the security and condition of God's protection upon his own. He that dwelleth in the secret place. Period. He that dwelleth in the secret place. What does this mean? It relates to true heart worship. It relates to a life of devotion and faith in God. It's the giving of the whole heart of the man to God, not just in part, but the whole man, giving ourselves everything to God, that we want to dwell in the secret place. Psalm 105 verse 4 says this, seek the Lord and his strength, and seek him forevermore. You see, God seeks spiritual worshippers, and spiritual worshippers seek God. God sought out those who were his. And when he opened our hearts, we want to seek him. So God seeks us, and now we seek him. And the two come together in beautiful harmony. And we seek each other. And we long to dwell in his presence. He that dwells in the secret place. It reminds me of the tabernacle in the Old Testament. When we come into God's presence, when we come into that secret place, it is, as it were, in the temple. We come into the Holy of Holies. We come in where God's Shekinah glory is, where his very presence is. Now, when we go back and read in the Old Testament, Leviticus and so on, we will read of the priests. We're only able to go in once a year on the Day of Atonement. But friends, we have the opportunity through Jesus Christ our Lord to go in every day. In fact, we are in the Holy of Holies now, for his presence is here with us. Notice it says, he that dwells in the secret place. You see, Christ has removed the veil. So we have an anchor in Christ Jesus to come into the presence of God and to worship him boldly and reverently because of the finished work on the cross. It is for us to find our home there, for us to abide in the presence as we go back to our respective homes afterwards. We love to dwell in the house, don't we? We love to abide in the house. We love to be safe in the house. It's our home. Well, God wants us to dwell in his presence and be comfortable in his presence and to find our home in his presence and to glorify in his presence. But you know, not everybody does. Not everybody delights in going into the presence of God and dwelling in there continually. Or they like to go in from time to time, but it's very few that love to dwell in the presence of God, that find their home in the presence of God. It's this occasional visit, but they don't dwell there and find joy in their peace, and they want to stay there. And that's what God wants us to do, dwell in my presence continually. You see, to grow in faith spiritually, we must seek him, else we're not going to grow. To know God more, we must be in his presence. If I want to know my wife more, and we've been married 2 years, and I'm sure I've got lots more to find out, I want to stay with her for a long time and dwell with her and talk to her and get to know her, get to know who she is. Well, when we come into God's presence and we dwell in his presence, we get to know who God is. But if we only have the occasional visit, whether it be in the Word of God when we read or in our prayer time or come to church, and we don't do it that often, we're not going to know who he is. Therefore, we will not fully understand his sovereignty. Therefore, we will not fully understand his omnipotence, his all power. So it is for us to come and dwell in the presence of God. And this is what the psalmist is saying. He that dwells in the secret place. It's almost like eating and drinking, in the sense that it is a perpetual appetite. You've got to keep eating and you've got to keep drinking, or else you'll be malnourished, you'll dehydrate, and you'll die. And so it is with our Christian life, that God loves you and he loves me, and he says, come into my presence and feed on me, feed on the word, and be buoyed up in your faith and find nourishment in the presence of God to feed you, so that your faith may be strong and you will live a life to the glory and honor of him. That's the psalm, isn't it? 42. As the deer pants for the water, so my soul pants after you, longs after you. I long for you. I long to dwell in your presence, Lord. He that dwells in the secret place, you see, then shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. He that dwells in the secret place shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. There's the promise. Shall abide. Interesting, when the psalmist wrote this, obviously this would have been in the time in Israel, and we know from time to time in this desert place, it's very hot there. very hot. And because it's very hot, it gets very dangerous, and we dehydrate. So there's nothing more comforting than finding a shadow that we can take comfort under. And this is what I think the psalmist is bringing out. He's in a hot and dry and dusty and dangerous place. Oh, but there's a shadow where I can take refuge, where I can go into the cool of the shadow, and I can take refuge. And it's the one who dwells in the secret place is under that shadow of God, where we can take the refuge in God's presence. It's interesting as well that when it speaks of the shadow of the Almighty that covers us, I think it speaks of this. It's God's inseparable attendance upon your life. I'll never leave you, and I'll never forsake you. You know, when it's sunny, it's not. We haven't had much sun over this week, have we? But when it's sunny and you're walking down the street, what follows you constantly? Your shadow. You can move here, there, and everywhere, and you can't leave it. And the shadow is speaking of God's inseparable attendance upon you. You can't shake him off, friends. Jonah tried to, and wherever he went, he was there. Even in the whale's belly, he was there. Can't get away from him. And so it is with God. As we dwell in his presence, we will remain under the shadow of the Almighty. Why? Because when we get to know and understand God more and more, why would we want to dwell anywhere else? Why? Because we found everything in his presence. And his shadow will never leave us. Isn't that a wonderful thought? His shadow will never leave us. It's almost like the children of Israel going through the desert place. And you remember when they left Egypt? Until God took him to the promised land, he was with them in the fiery, cloudy pillar. Cloud by day, fire by night, never left them. And God will never leave us. But the condition of God's protection also is a special protection. Now, I don't come to this quite and say this very easily. But God protects some people. Or God protects some Christians more than others. Now, he protects all Christians. He protects all of us. He loves us, and he protects us all. But you see, he will protect some more than others. It's very biblical, you see, because not everybody dwells in the presence of God the same. Some choose to spend as much time as possible. Others decide not to. And God will protect some more than others, because not everybody dwells in the presence of God the same. We only have to read the account of the Apostle Paul and look how God looked after him in certain situations and miraculously brought him out of situations where other people were not brought out of. That doesn't mean to say God loved these people any less, and it's not to say that God loved Paul any more. But it is biblical that God does protect some more than others. And we've read books, no doubt, of missionaries, how God has brought missionaries through some amazing times of testings and trials, and how on earth they've walked out, we just don't know. But it is God who's done it. I don't have all the answers, but I know he does protect those who he loves, but he protects some more than others, because some dwell more in the presence of God. So we will be under the shadow of the Almighty because we long to dwell in his presence. That is the condition of God's protection. And that is the assurance of God's protection. When we're in his presence, we are assured that he will look after us. He will overshadow us. He will keep us safe because he is the Most High God. He is the Sovereign God. Then we come to the second point. And it's the promise of God's protection. Excuse me. And it's found in verses 3 all the way down to 13. And it's quite an interesting passage here, 10 verses here, because this is the actual writer of this psalm speaking. This is the writer's own experience speaking of God's protection over himself. And he provides for us an outlay of what God has protected him from. So this overall consideration of how God protects him is found in these first 10 verses 3 to 13. He says this in verse 3. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. Verse 5. You shall not be afraid by the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day. Verse 6. Nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. What he has put in here, in a sense, is quite vague. He's not quite defined exactly, completely and fully, what God has protected him from. And the reason for that, I think, is this, that in this, he's trying to include everything that God protects. Because it's not possible to write down everything that God protects you from. So he's given it to us, in a sense, in a roundabout manner, that he protects us from all things. He says here, in verse 3, he'll deliver thee from the snare of the fowler. Well, we know what the snare of the fowler is. It's the unseen things. It's the hidden things, whether in the natural or whether in the spiritual, that God protects us from. When the animals are walking into the forest, they don't know that the trap has been set, and they step in it. And it comes upon the animal, and it traps them. Well, the snare of the fowler is that subtle thing, it's that unseen thing that we don't see coming. Whether in the natural or the spiritual, we don't see it. But this writer says, surely he shall deliver thee. And surely God will deliver us from the unseen things in this life. As we trust in him, he will deliver us. So it's any kind of danger that relates to our lives. God watches over you, and he's jealous over you, and he loves you, and he will cover us in all sorts of trouble. From the noisome pestilence, well, that's from epidemics. And we've certainly had some epidemics over the years, haven't we? And some diseases and so on, and bird flu, mad cow disease, lots of things. And God will protect his own from those. And this is the sure promise. Don't be afraid. God is with you. God is in the situation with you. It also says here, by the terror of the night. Are you fearful in the night? Do you find sometimes that the terror of the night overwhelms you and overcomes you? Well, this is the psalmist's experience here, that you don't need to be afraid, for God is with you in the night season. And that even means in your homes, when you're tucked up in bed, and sometimes robbers may come in, God will protect you. He gives his angels, as we've seen, charge over you, to watch over you. You can sleep sound because God is with you. Even the arrow that flieth by day, oh, the day's come, I'm okay, I'm all right, the night's gone, it's day. But the arrow comes in the daytime. Nobody is protected at any time, really, apart from under God's protection. What he's saying, even the arrow in the daytime, when you think you're safe, when you're around people and you think all is fine, God is with you, and he will protect you at the arrow that will come and get you in the daytime. Hallelujah. What a wonderful promise this is. And it's quite an amazing promise that this psalmist has experienced this in his life and gives praise to God. When we look at verse 4, it says, God will cover thee with his feathers. Under his wings thou shalt trust. He knows that he protects him from all of these troubles. But now he goes even further and says, with his feathers he will cover you. You will trust under his wings. You see, it's God's natural care and attendance upon your life that he wants to, like a mother hen, gather his chicks in under his wing. Come under here. You're going to be safe under my arms. You'll be safe. You'll be warm. You are with me. I will hide you away. And it says this also, that he will be his shield and buckler for you. Verse 4, in the wings you will trust, but also his truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Let me ask you something here today. Do you find sometimes the devil has a go at you? You're not good enough for the Lord Jesus. You're not saved. oh, you've done this sin, or you've done that sin. But it says the truth of God will be your shield and buckler. The truth of God, it's known the truth that we are saved, we are justified, we are righteous. And the devil cannot condemn us. God doesn't condemn us. We are his own. And there is now no condemnation. So it's the truth that we hold on to is a shield from the fiery darts of the enemy. But also, his truth to know that his shield and buckler is a defense for us. That when the troubles come our way, we know the truth of God because we've dwelled in his presence. He is mighty to deliver. He is powerful. And we know the truth. And the truth will set us free. Verse 7 and 8, and it's this little study, says this. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. This is quite a wonderful thing, this is. We don't stand and behold the downfall of the wicked with glee, but we'll watch it and we will thank God that we're not in it, because we've put our trust in him. And I'm reminded of when the bubonic plague, the Black Death, came upon Britain, and there was a gentleman called Lord Craven, a Christian man, a godly man, and he would not leave London. He said, I must be with the people. And the people were pleading with him, Lord Craven, you must leave. You must flee to the countryside. You must get away from the disease that is killing everybody. But I have a job to do. God has called me to look after the sick. He will protect me. And what a fine example of faith from this man in God, that he stayed there where many people fled, and he trusted God. And in a sense, he could assign these verses to himself, because he watched many people die around him. But God kept him, because he put his trust in him. And sometimes you will find that there'll be many people who will be taken away from us, and we'll be watching, and God protects us at times. It's not always easy for us, but that happens in our lives, and God will protect us. God's a strong and unbreakable defense with us because we dwell in his presence. That's where it says, because you have made the Lord, which is your refuge, the Most High, thy habitation, no evil will befall thee. Do you know where your refuge is this evening? It's not necessarily your husband or your wife. Your refuge is not necessarily your house. See, all these are temporal and they pass away. But our refuge is the strong tower in God. And it is to know our refuge and our place of refuge and our place of trust that we should automatically run to. But we don't, do we? When troubles come along our way, sometimes our pride gets in the way and I'll figure it out myself. But the psalmist is saying, know your refuge. Know your refuge. The Most High God. And no evil will befall you. No plague will come upon you. Know your refuge. Trust in God. Know your dwelling place. It's a wonderful 10 verses here that is written. Something that was experienced by this psalmist. That he knew of the covering of God and the protection of God because he dwelt in his presence. And it is for us to dwell in God's presence and to fully understand completely all that God will protect us from because we know who he is. But not only that, there is a promise of God's protection because he says he will give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. So not only does God protect us and we don't need any other protection, but as it were, like a double protection, just to give you a bit of assurance, I will give my angels charge over thee. So even here tonight, and I believe there's an angel in charge of each one of us, we're double in number, even though we can't see them. They're here, and God's here. And when we go out, God's presence is with us, but he's also sent his angels. He said, look after that one, take care of that one. I will give my angels authority and charge over thee, that no harm will come. And I was thinking about this, and I found a wonderful scripture. If you've got your Bible and you want to turn to it, turn to 2 Kings chapter 6. Great scripture. 2 Kings chapter 6, and it's verse 15 to 17. And this is about Elisha and his servant. They were in a city at the time, and the king was going to come and wanted to get Elisha. And the king and his army and his host came upon them. And we read from verse 16. And this servant, or verse 15, and the servant of the man of God was risen up early, and he went forth, and behold, a host compassed the city with horses and chariots. And the servant said unto him, Master, alas, what on earth shall we do? These people have come to get you, and there's a whole host of them, and there's only two of us. What are we going to do? They come to get Elisha. They come to get a servant. This whole host, this ferocious army, this terrible thing that was going to come upon them. And Elisha answered, Fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them. And Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes, that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. Open his eyes, Lord. Elisha wasn't afraid. Why? Because he saw a heavenly army. He saw the angels, the heavenly host, come to protect the servant of God, Elisha. And when God opened his servant's eyes, he had nothing to be afraid of anymore, because he saw this heavenly host come to protect. And all God would open our eyes this evening, that we would see that heavenly host protecting us, so that we can walk out in the street and present the gospel to the lost. And we know we've got a whole host of army of angels behind us, fighting for us and shouting with us, go on, preach the gospel, Jesus Christ. We're with you. Nothing will come to your harm. The heavenly angels are with you. And God has charged us to protect you. Isn't God good? Isn't God good? He gives his angels protection. Verse 13, God's protection and victory is assured. Let me just quickly go back to the psalm. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and the adder, and the young lion and the dragon shall trample under feet. The lion, the young lion, the dragon, strong beasts, strong foes, and there's going to be strong foes that come along in your life. There's going to be strong men and women who are going to come along in your life, who are going to try and bring you down. But God will trample on them if you put your trust in him. I've come across in my life and lived around different parts of this country. I've come across many men and women who have been very strong-minded people. Nothing wrong with that. But they sought to bring me down in their strength. And I put my trust in God. And if we put our trust in God, they will not bring you down. And you don't have to be brought down. You can stand assured in God's might tonight. And with his whole armor, you can stand assured in God that they will not bring you down, because they don't have the authority to bring you down if it's for your harm concerning your faith in Christ Jesus. They have no authority to do that. But you have all the authority in Christ Jesus to overcome that, and all the power in Christ Jesus to overcome that and to put your trust in him. And then we come to our third point, and it is the pledge of God's protection. So we've looked at the condition of God's protection concerning us. We've looked at the promise of God's protection in verses 3 to 10 that the writer has assured us. But now we come to the pledge of God's protection. And I love these three verses. And let me just read them out, just remind us. And this is, by the way, God speaking to us. Okay, this is God speaking now, personally. God is saying, because he has set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. And I will set him on high, because he's known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble, and I will deliver him and honor him. And with long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. What a wonderful thing. The writer is saying, look what's happened to me in my life. God has protected me. But to give the greater authority and assurance in our life, now God's coming in on the matter and saying, listen, I will. It's an extra authority. And God confirms it to us. I will look after you. And he affirms and delivers us from all our problems. Verse 14 says this. I will deliver him and I will set him on high because he'd know my name. God is saying to you and I this evening, I will deliver you because you set your love upon me, because you know my name. Now let me ask you this evening, do you know the name of the Lord? Do you know the name of the Lord? Well, let me just read some names out of God that will encourage us. Because this is what God is saying. And this is what we'll come to understand as we dwell in God's presence. We come to understand who he is and we come to know his names. And there are different names assigned to God to explain to us of his character. So let me read some things out. He is Jehovah Jireh, my provider. He is Jehovah Rapha, I am the Lord that healeth thee. He is Jehovah Nissi. He is the Lord my banner or protection. He's the apple of your eye, or you are the apple of his eye. He is Jehovah Mekadiskan. He is the Lord that sanctifies. He is the Lord that makes you holy, and he sets you apart. He is Jehovah Shalom. He is your peace. He is Jehovah Sabaoth. He is the Lord of hosts. That's his military name. The Lord shall fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. Fear not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord. He is Jehovah Sidkenu. He is the Lord our righteousness. It's not in our own righteousness can we come to God the Father, but it's in Christ Jesus' righteousness, which he gives to us, that we are able to boldly come before the throne. He is Jehovah Shammah. The Lord is there. Wherever you go, he's there. His presence is there. All around, wherever you go, God is there. He is Jehovah Elyon, the Lord Most High. He is sovereign. And he is Jehovah Roy. The Lord is my shepherd, and he'll lead me. And we are the sheep of his pasture, and he will lead us. Do you know his name tonight? Do you know his name? I want to know his name more fully. And if I want to know his name more fully and to bring those wonderful treasures and truths to my heart, I need to dwell in the presence of God. I need to dwell more. I know that. And the more I dwell, the more I'll know him, the more I want to praise him, the more of Christ in me will be shown forth to the world, to his glory and his honor. And the more I can stand out there and preach the gospel, the more we can witness, knowing that God is with us and we know his name. And you can call upon him in verse 15, and I will answer him, and I will deliver him, and I will honor him. God wants to honor you. God wants to honor you tonight. Dwell in his presence. Put your faith in him, and he will honor you for it. And lastly, verse 16, with long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. Now it's quite a verse. With long life will I satisfy him. Because it's speaking of God's people and those who want to dwell in his presence. And I got thinking, I know of many godly men and women, many godly children, many godly teenagers who've loved the Lord with all their hearts. But God has taken them away early. They have died. They have died an early death. But it says here, with long life will I satisfy him. But they've been taken away from us early in their lives. Is this a contradiction here? Why is it then, with long life will he satisfy us? Yet I have friends who have been taken away early in their life. I think, God, why? They could do so much for you, yet you've taken them away. And I'm reminded of this. As I mentioned earlier this morning, I love my church history and these mighty men of God in history gone by as well. And I think of Robert Murray McShane, this great Scottish preacher. And as I said this morning, at the end of his bed each night, he would cry, tears flowing down his face, God, give me Scotland, else I die. Give me Scotland. Give me souls, Lord. Give me passion and compassion for souls. Give me Scotland. Give me revival, else I die. I want to see it. And God gave him Scotland, gave him the desires of his heart, and God moved in a mighty way, and Scotland was revived, friends, and thousands upon thousands came to know him. And it shook this country to the core because of what Robert Murray McShane prayed. Saul did mighty things for him, yet he died when he was 29. 29 years of age, God took him. Much more to give? Well, humanly, we would think so. Much more to give. But with long life will I satisfy him, the one who honors me. But God took him away. You see, some people can die young, but they can die full of days. They can die young, but they've done everything in God. They've done everything they could in Christ Jesus, and they've died full of God. And God says, there's nothing more for you to do on this earth. You've lived a full life in me. You don't need to live till you're 80. You don't need to live till you're 90. You've died. I want to take you away in your young age, but you're dying full of days. You don't have to live a long life, you see, to have fullness of days in Christ Jesus. So when we look at those who have known and loved the Lord Jesus Christ and given their everything to the Lord, and he takes them away so early on in their lives, and sometimes in the natural we might think, what a waste. But God says it's not a waste, because they've died full of days, fully trusting in me, given their everything to me. I want them home, because they've lived a full life in me. There's nothing more to live. What a wonderful way to look at it, when God takes those young ones home from us. And I don't say this easily, and I'm very careful to say it, but if I was to die young, I want to die full of days in Christ Jesus, because that's all I want to live for. And I don't say that lightly, because I recognize sometimes the words we speak can come out just so easily. But I want to live full of days. And if it be God's will then that he would take me early on, but I've lived full of days to his glory, well, glory be to God. And I know God will cover everything else. The promise of God's protection for his people. Be assured today, God loves you. Let me just give you the heart of the message, which is found in Proverbs verse 14:26. The fear of the Lord is strong confidence, and his children shall have a place of refuge. It's a lovely verse to end on, isn't it? The fear of the Lord is strong confidence, and his children shall have a place of refuge. Find your refuge in Christ Jesus, and you can be sure that God will look after you. And concerning your life, all things will work together for good to those who love God and to those who are called according to his purpose. Amen.